Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist, crusader patriots. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday.
Yes.
Where the truth of God is black and white. No matter how many false fact checkers there are out there.
Who's checking the fact checkers?
That's right.
My goodness.
We actually have a clip about that. That's being addressed in Congress, believe it or not, and they're wanting to cut their pay. I didn't realize it was a government payroll position, these fact checkers.
I didn't either.
Yeah, and so we've got this clip here that is being reviewed by Congress. And so kind of interesting to see them say these fact checkers are being proven to be politically driven and politically motivated, and now it's time for them to be removed from the payroll.
Well, absolutely. They shouldn't be government funded at all. I mean, because we use the fact checkers a lot, and we've learned that they're a very reliable source, that whatever position they take, the opposite is true.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if they tell you the moon is round, yes, run outside and look because something's off.
Listen to them. Yeah, if they say the sky's blue, definitely don't think that it's blue. And you know, they should actually just be called the lie checkers, because you know, that's pretty much all that they're really looking for is to make sure that what is out there and being repeated is a lie.
The truth spinners.
Yep, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, and like I said, I was just surprised to find out that they get paid. And so what they're being accused of basically is censorship, but all that in the face of a presidential candidate having a gag order placed on him that prohibits his First Amendment of free speech while he's campaigning for president.
Right.
You know, so the censure of the lying fact checkers is pretty small, you know, is a pretty small hitting problem comparatively, you know.
Yes.
I mean, if you can omit the First Amendment from he's the legal president, but the guy that's currently running for president and the leading candidate, and if you can prohibit his freedom of speech while he's campaigning, that is staggering.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with this Monochromatic Monday, you know, how appropriate, talking about the fact checkers, they put such a spin on things. They're so slick. They're wordsmiths what they are. Because you'll take a story, this Democrat, let's say a college professor calls for the overthrow and the destruction of the American capitalist system. This professor who graduated from Harvard in 1989 is calling for the destruction of the American capitalist system and overthrowing our Constitution.
Right.
Fact checkers will come along and say, this story, we've checked it, it is false. He graduated in 90.
Right,
you know,
right,
I mean,
exactly,
so
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that they pull. So, like I said, we found them to be a great source to find out what side of an issue to be on.
Right. Well, and exactly. That's the part of the problem with lying. Lying doesn't have to be a bold, full-on, 100% brazen lie.
Oh,
a lie consists of omitting even part of the truth.
Exactly. It lies by omission.
Yep, that's right.
You know, and so they're good at it. They're masters at it. And of course, their master is the
father of lies.
The father of lies.
That's right.
So they know how to do it.
Yep.
As we watch this Palestinian issue unfold too, you know, we're seeing the spin, the lies. You know, Palestinians are victims. Hamas
are
victims.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk more about this. I went into this, you know, much more in depth in the Sunday evening podcast. last night. You can go check that out on our Podbean site along with all of our morning commutes.
That's right. But, well, and we've also got a clip here from Marjorie Taylor Greene for after the break where she is. Good grief. I was startled by the video that she showed where, she's in a private veranda recording her own video update. And this guy, this Hamas supporter bursts in yelling and screaming while she's standing there recording. And she could tell she was alarmed, like security, I need help right now. And so the brazenness of that, even to go to a congressman, almost like in an accosting manner.
Yes.
And where the look on her face was like, you know, quick, somebody step between him and me, you know?
Right.
And so I was alarmed to see that. That is what we're looking at with these people.
Yeah.
And that's just the start, because they have no reverence for women, period. And they just, you know, they're dangerous. They're flat out dangerous. They cut people's heads off.
They're dangerous to Christendom. They are justifying the violence against innocent women and children, babies, everything else to advance their cause. They think they're justified, you know, in the name of Allah. And, you know, over at WorldNet Daily, they ran a video how Free Palestine propaganda is showing that this is a coordinated effort worldwide and growing.
Yep.
100,000 of them in the streets waving Palestinian flags in London.
That's right.
And then multiple cities, probably at least a dozen cities in the United States, turning out huge crowds.
Yep.
Clearly coordinated. And they were starting off with these demonstrations after the terrorist attacks on October 7th, before Israel began strikes. So
right.
This is not, you know, in response to Israel, you know, those, how they started off. This is very coordinated.
Oh, absolutely.
But, well, and the same people, BLM, Antifa, you know, the globalist
yep.
foot soldiers are the same ones that are waving the Palestinian flags.
Well, and I've got an update here after the break as well from the UN, who's jumping in on helping with supplies. And, you know, this is where Biden, Hillary, all of the NATO people that went in and killed Gaddafi, this is their MO. They are known for funding and supplying both sides
yes.
of a conflict. In fact, they instigate the conflict and then they supply both sides with weapons
right.
and so that they, you know, they basically wipe each other out. And that is to get rid of people out of certain areas where they want the resources. First case in point being the case with Rwanda. Where, oh my gosh, the UN was there. They instigated the fight between the Hutus and the Tutsis, and then they went ahead and supplied both sides with weapons, and they all pretty much hacked each other to death.
Yeah,
and so to see the UN stepping in with supplies for Gaza, while our communist coup regime is funding both sides, it's sickening to see it.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's also a prophecy unfolding.
That's right.
These are the end times. These are very exciting times. Like we said, Friday, these are the gritty details of prophecy unfolding and happening before our eyes.
Right.
And so this is an exciting time. It means our king is returning soon. We look very much forward to that.
Well, and another thing interesting too about that, you know, that these are biblical times unfolding. You know, how many times have you and I read through the different accounts in the Bible of different wars and different things that people were doing in these wars as a result, you know, where there was famine and women were, you know,
ravished.
Women were boiling and eating their own children because
oh, yes.
they were starving to death. Right.
Yes.
And so to read these stories made you cringe. It's kind of like you just go, ew, that's so barbaric. It's so horrific. You can't even imagine that it's true. And yet that ends up being what war looks like.
It is. Mean, war is ugly and you want to avoid it at almost all costs.
That's right.
But when it's time to go to war, you better fight like you want to win.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's going to be prolonged, protracted, more people die.
In fact, that's the only reason you fight, is to win.
Yeah.
Don't fight expecting to just give a mediocre effort and call it good. No, if you're going to fight, you better throw down.
Well, we didn't get dressed up for nothing.
That's right.
Don't get dressed up for nothing.
That's right, for sure.
All right, well, let's get into the word of the day.
I'm sure
something exciting.
Okay, so the word of the day is not a random turning. This is coming to us as a new revelation, something that neither of us have ever known, but we had it pointed out to us in a very well-documented sermon on Saturday while we were doing our Bible study and listening to sermons. And what we found out through this outstanding sermon, I mean, the whole thing was backed up Bible verse by Bible verse, and you and I just looked at each other and went,
never heard that before.
And so I wonder if everybody else knows and we don't know. You know, that could be the case. We don't know. But we wanted to share it with you anyway, because, you know, that's what you do when part of the word is revealed to you and it's not real commonly known. So the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 through 5, which reads, "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." And then it describes the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 4 reads, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw their souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." And that's it.
Yeah.
And so what this whole sermon laid out through biblical support, and it's you know, it was amazing, is that here we've been saying that we would be the saints that would reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Apparently, that is not correct. Apparently, we are the saints who will reign with Christ for 1,000 years in heaven.
Yeah.
And so
I had a hard time accepting this.
Oh, me too.
I had to read it, reread it. We discussed it at length. Yep. There's a very critical supporting scripture that
absolutely
goes with this.
And so we will get to that, because the key verse here, the clincher that sets this all off, is verse 5. "But the rest of the dead..." Who's the rest of the dead? Well, all the saints that reign with Christ in, you know, for 1,000 years, they have all just gone up into the air to meet Jesus in the air.
Right.
Right. So these are the saints of Christ. But the rest of the dead, so that means everybody that's a saint that is saved at that point goes up to meet him in the air, while everyone else on the whole planet is basically wiped out. And so it says, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." So the best support verse to basically prove that comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 25, that reads, "I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled." And so that verse is Jeremiah looking at that time in chapter 4. And so where the 1,000 years is going on, where we are reigning with Christ, there is no man and all the birds of the heavens have fled. There's no man anywhere on the earth that is alive.
Yep.
And so, so then, the next supporting verse for that is Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 33, that reads, "And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground." And so, wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't said, you know, back in Revelation 20, where it said, "But the rest of the dead," that means that's what he's talking about there in Jeremiah chapter 4 and 25, where he's referring to that 1,000 years where Satan is bound, and where everybody that is left on the planet is dead. And so, but then let's go back to Revelation verse 20, chapter 20, verse 5, and we'll go over that one again. It says, "But the rest of the dead," now get this, "did not live again." Again is the word right there.
Right.
What do they mean? The rest of the dead did not live again.
Until
the 1,000 years were finished.
Right. And at first I thought, well, that's just the people that died, and they'll be raised up, you know, to face the white throne judgment. Because otherwise, where are the nations that Satan's going to come and deceive again? Well, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, these people, this is completely a different revelation to me than I've ever seen before, because I've never tied in the Jeremiah. I mean, it goes back further. Right. And this is talking about the end days, the end times, when all these people have been wiped out, the entire earth. "I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and without void, and the heavens, they had no light. The mountains, they trembled. All the hills moved back and forth. There was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness."
Right.
"And all of its cities were broken down." This is not the beginning of the earth.
No, nope.
This is after Christ comes back.
And this is once
there's
Satan
not
is
a
bound.
Man left.
Right.
You know, because of his, at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger.
Right.
That's the day of the Lord.
Yep.
And yeah, that was.
Well, and so let me elaborate a little bit more out of Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10, where it reads under the title "Satanic Rebellion Crushed." So basically, Jesus returns. We are all his saints are raptured up into the air to meet him in the air. And everybody goes up with him for 1,000 years for the millennium in heaven. And so the rest of the people that are down here, he wipes out with the sword of his mouth and also with the great earthquake.
Yeah.
The earthquake and the 75-pound hail, where all of the islands disappear at that time as well.
Right.
So he wipes them out with the sword of his mouth. Everybody's dead. They stay dead. They remain unburied, unlamented, because there's nobody here to bury them.
There's no one to bury them. There's no one to mourn for them.
Right.
There's nobody here.
Right. And so then in chapter 20, verse 7, it starts, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And so that is the after the 1,000-year millennium, God gives them another chance by reviving all the dead, right? From verse 5, "The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. So God resurrects all the people across the whole face of the earth that he had that had been killed at the end of the tribulation. And then he lets Satan loose. And one more time, he gathers all, Satan gathers all those people. They go to try to take Jerusalem one more time. And this time the whole, a fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them all. And so then they all face the second death and the great white throne judgment.
Right.
And so,
I went back to deal with the, everybody's dead. Like there aren't people living on earth for that 1,000 years.
Right.
But is it in chapter 25? Do you have that in front of you where it's not just the armies coming to get up against Israel. It's the entire world. I mean, it lays.
Right. It's all of Jeremiah. Read all of Jeremiah chapter 4. Read all of Jeremiah chapter 25.
Right.
And so it all of these things ties together. And just so that everyone knows, we went through and read not just the sentence or not just the paragraph. We read three chapters before, all through that chapter, and three chapters after.
Want to make sure we have the right context.
Because we didn't want to think, we didn't want to have somebody just saying something, oh, this verse means that, and then it's completely out of context for that whole chapter, you know? And so we checked, and we double-checked, and we triple-checked, and we went over it and over it and over it. And apparently, we go to heaven for the 1,000-year millennium to reign with Christ in heaven.
Right.
And to that, I can only say, three cheers, hear, hear. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
it totally
works for me.
Totally disrupted everything I've ever thought that I knew.
Me too.
You know, that we're going to come back with Christ. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years on earth, because right. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we reign on earth with him.
Yep, exactly. And so, when it says here, the saints reign with Christ 1,000 years, that's all it says, that we reign 1,000 years. And that at that point when he shows up in the second coming, when all the saints go to meet him in the air, that's when everybody goes up and the rest of the planet is, the people on the planet are wiped out.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about Jesus coming down at that point. The only one that comes down is an angel with the key to bind Satan and throw him into the pit for 1,000 years.
Well, no, that's when Jesus comes down and his feet touch the Mount of Olives and the great earthquake splits Jerusalem in two. We're just not here to see that part. And so, you know, that's the part where he slays all the people with the sword of his mouth, and then the earthquake and the 75-pound hail and the islands that disappear. That's when that all happens. And actually, if you wanted to find out and read a bit more also about the big earthquake, the hail, and the islands disappearing, you can read all of that in Revelation chapter 16, verses 18 through 21.
See, I'm going to have to read it all again.
Oh, I know. Well,
I got to read it again and again and, you know, bookend it with other verses, you know, for the context.
That's right.
Everything else.
Yeah, because that was new to me. And I wouldn't have believed it had it not all been backed up by scripture. And we verified multiple chapters before and after to make sure it wasn't taken out of context.
Right.
And sure enough.
Pretty interesting.
So, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, you're on a journey with the Lord, and the more you seek him, the more he reveals to you.
That's right.
And so if you only want the cut and dried verses that you're going to hear again and again from a 30-minute sermon on Sunday once a week, you know, that's not really seeking the Lord. And so, you know, once you're seeking the Lord, you also have to remain teachable, where you resolve that, you know, if there's something that I have believed and I find out through biblical text that what I believe is not accurate or true,
right,
then you have to be willing to let go of what was wrong and follow what was true.
Yep.
And that is how you prove basically that you have become a lover of the truth, not a lover of your incorrect tradition.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, we just got a few minutes here. So let's get out those scriptures one more time.
Okay. So that was Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 5. And then it was also Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 25, and Jeremiah 25, verse 33.
All right. Got them all. I'm gonna go back through those again this week.
Well, and those will be posted on our channel today as well. I'll lay them all out so everybody has a clear, concise list so they can go and investigate as well. I think the truth is important, and the more we know, the better off we are.
Well, amen to that. And we join, we invite our listeners to join us in this study. This is very fascinating.
Amazing. Yep.
I'm sure it'll probably turn into another lively debate, but that's okay. We welcome it.
Yeah, that's okay, because we were debating with the pastor we were learning it from as well.
And then with each other.
That's right.
All right. So it is Monochromatic Monday, talking about truth. We've got time to get to one of our clips. Let's take a look at the clip from dealing with the fact checkers that we just discovered are taxpayer funded.
That's right. And so the most important statement here is, I think fact checkers need to be fact checked and removed from the government payroll. Listen now to what Congress has to say.
I think there's a clear pattern of censorship, and it reveals the political leanings of those who are censored versus those doing the censoring. And I think that's evident, and I think it's self-evident, that the arbitrary censorship role of big tech has led to partisan outcomes. And the same holds true with fact-checkers when they collude with other interests. For instance, the company NewsGuard defines itself as a journalism and technology tool that rates the credibility of news information and tracks online misinformation. However, they are partnered with big tech, big pharma, the National Teachers Union, and even government agencies. In fact, $750,000 went from the Department of Defense to NewsGuard in a government contract. Mr. Schellenberger, do you find this pattern of censorship and political bias to be real?
To be real?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I do, too. It's also my understanding the vast majority of outlets targeted by NewsGuard specifically are conservative-leaning outlets. Do you think that's true?
I think that NewsGuard, I mean, we know that NewsGuard rated discussions of COVID origins as coming from a lab as disinformation.
Yes, I remember that.
One big example.
Thank you. I agree with you. I think fact checkers need to be fact checked and removed from the government payroll.
And that's all we have time for today. So you patriots, you have a blessed day out there. Be safe. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. And remove them from the payroll, for crying out loud. And you all have a marvelous Monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.